Lord, I have longed for thy salvation, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let thy judgments help me. We have gone astray like lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Amen. And we have Psalm 117 for our praise psalm this morning. And there is a little bit of a quick drop-off at the end of the second stanza for the way we're singing this, Emma and I discovered this morning. So just make sure we keep that in mind.
Hallelujah, oh give ye praise to the Lord, all nations that be.
Very small Scottish psalms. Nope, there it is. Shall we hum? Let's give it a hum. So it's a good thing we do give it a hum. Right, Christian?
Yeah.
Great sums of gold and silver be.
afflicts us, according to this psalm. I guess it's once you give thanks for the affliction of God that you realize what it is God needed to afflict you for. At least that's the point being made here. Psalm 60A is somewhat new, but the tune's pretty well known to us. We'll just sing A, and we'll save B for after Bible study. So it's the tune of Auld Lang Syne, 60A.
O Lord, Thou hast rejected us and scattered us abroad. Thou justly hast displeased thee. Return to us, O God. The earth to tremble Thou hast made. Therein this breach is made. Because the land doth shake. Unto thy people thou hast things hast showed in on themselves, and thou hast caused us to drink wine of astonishment. And yet the banner thou hast given to them
Testament, New Testament lessons. We're in the third book of the law and the third book of the New Testament, which is Leviticus and Luke. We worked our way through Mark quite a while back and Exodus, if you guys remember that. And so we're going to start picking up there again, unless we have special reason to go and look at some other scriptures. But we're going to start doing that for our old New Testament lessons, and we'll work through the book of Leviticus and the book of Luke. So we will be in Leviticus 1 and Luke 1 for our Old and New Testament reading. And there will be some chapters that we will skip through because of the language and names and things that will just cause confusion. So. Leviticus 1 and chapter 1, verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses, and he spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying,
Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock.
If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord.
And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him.
And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priests Aaron's sons shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces.
And the sons of Aaron the priests shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire.
And the priest Aaron's son shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar.
But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish, and he shall kill it on the sides of the altar northward before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar.
And he shall cut it into his pieces with the head and the fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar.
But he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it out and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then it shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons.
And the priest shall bring it unto the altar and bring off his head and burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar.
And he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes.
And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
We'll end right there. It's good to remember when we read through books like Leviticus, though it seems like, oh, what's this have to do with us today? That everything in the law, the Bible says, was done according to the pattern of heaven. In other words, everything was done on earth, pattern something that was done into heaven. And so there's insights into how the temple and the kingdom of heaven works in the heavenly Jerusalem from the insights we're given on earth. So good things to be remembered. And if we were to continue reading in the book of Luke, which we will not be doing past chapter 1, you would find that the turtle doves are mentioned because that was the sacrifice given by Mary for Christ whenever he was born, so which is one of the poorer sacrifices. So Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed among us,
even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word.
It seems good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus,
that thou mayest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed.
There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was a daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth.
And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless.
And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years.
And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of the course,
according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord.
And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense.
And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense.
And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him.
But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John.
And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth.
For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb.
And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God.
And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years.
And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stands in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings.
And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season.
And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple.
And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he begged that them remained speechless.
And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house.
And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying,
thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach from among men.
And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth,
to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary.
And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women.
And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation should be.
And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God.
And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus.
He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David.
And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end.
Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?
And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren.
For with God nothing shall be impossible.
And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord,
be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And we will end there, and we'll pick up in the middle of that chapter next Sabbath. You may be seated. A very long chapter. If we went through the whole thing, there'd be a lot of coughing by the end of it. I think there's 80 verses. So, speaking of which, can I have someone grab me a glass of water? I forgot to do that in all the confusion this morning. So I found this to be, for me, a good study. I hope I've shared with you a good study, and that it's helped you consider how important it is that we not despise the word of the Lord. There will be consequences if we despise God's word. Examine your heart, look into your heart, and read the Bible, the uncomfortable parts of the Bible, and justify God. Recognize the uncomfortability is there for your correction. It's there for you to say, God, you are always just. My unrighteousness commends the righteousness of God. Understand? So if there's one thing you get out of this message, that's what I want you to get. Take a little break here, and we will come back to worship here in just a few minutes. And that'll be that.
And we will close with this portion of the psalm, Psalm 60. This is the B section, same tune. Okay.
His holiness has spoke, herein I will take pleasure. Check down my will divide and force will soup your sally measure. Gilead I claim as mine by right, Manasseh of mine shall be. Ephraim is of mine head the strength, Judah give loss for me. Moab's my washing pot my shoe all over Edom throw. And over Palestine the land I will in triumph go. Oh, who is he will bring to me the city for to find? Oh, who is he that to the land of Edom will me guide? God, which haddest us cast off, this thing wilt thou not do. Even thou, O God, which didst not forthwith our armies go. Help us from trouble, for the help is vain which man supplies. Through God will do great acts, he shall tread down our enemies.
I thank God very much in that psalm is trying to show that he's always just when he destroys a nation. That's what he's talking about. Well, this is a historical resuscitation that we have here. From Ignatius of Antioch. I guess it's just a recital, actually. And so I'll give the little preface here just so we can kind of understand why he penned these words that were used by the church to avoid heresy. It tells us that he was bishop and martyr who, with the church of his age, were in opposition to the Gnostic heretics. And these resolved that the birth, death, and resurrection of Christ into an unreal delusion. It was a show or a phantom. Therefore, these words were confessed and affirmed. And so the point that's being made here is that these people literally believe that Christ did not have a human body, so to speak, that it was just an apparition, a phantom. And so this is what he says. Let's say it together.
Be deaf, therefore, when anyone speaks to you, apart from or at variance with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is descended from the family of David, born of Mary, who truly was born both of God and of the Virgin, truly taking a body for the Word. He became flesh and dwelt among us without sin, ate and drank truly, truly suffered persecution under Pontius Pilate, was truly and not in appearance only crucified and died, who was also truly raised from the dead and rose after 3 days, his Father raising him up, and after having spent 40 days with the apostles, was received up to the Father, and sits on his right hand, waiting till his enemies are put under his feet.
And so while those seem like, oh, that's pretty simple Christian doctrine, there are quite a few people that don't believe it. You know, there's whole sects out there that still affirm many of these things. And so it's important to keep stuff like that in mind. Muslims are probably the number one believers of that Gnostic heresy now. They literally believe that that Jesus was conceived in bizarre ways. They literally believe that when he was crucified, that he did not suffer the death of the cross, that Judas Iscariot was placed in his place and his spirit went elsewhere, and all kinds of strange stuff. And so that these sects did become something. They're not things not to consider in our world. So, good things to keep in mind, even if it's like out of the ordinary from what we studied today. Christian, would you mind closing us in prayer today?
No, I would not. Dear Lord, thank you for another day of your grace and mercy, Lord. This is the day that you have made, and we do rejoice in it. We thank you for life and breath, God, and that we have physical bodies, and that we still have our senses, Lord. Please just help us not to take the small things for granted, God, but to be thankful. And when we're going through frustrating times, whatever it may be, dealing with work or dealing with people or however, whatever the circumstance may be, Lord, please help us to gain wisdom from that experience and you work all things together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. So just please help us to be thankful in all scenarios, God. And Lord, help us to be steadfast, help us to keep the faith, increase our faith, Lord, as the apostles cried out to you, your Son. Increase our faith, give us just more faith, God, and more hope and more love in our lives, love for you, God, and love for our neighbor. The word was preached today, God, please help us humble ourselves before your word, before your holy and perfect law. Help us treasure it. And Lord, we're in pretty dark times right now, so I ask that you'd help our lights to shine bright, and that we would be extra salty, God, and that we would be a living testimony for you, a good representative, a good ambassador for you, Jesus, in this world. Please help us with our jobs, for those that are here and for those that are listening abroad. Help them in their work, God. Help them be a blessing, whether they work for themselves or for other people. Help them to be a blessing to their masters and to their customers, God. And Lord, thank you for this food that we're about to eat. Thank you for the hands that prepared it. Pray for Brother Roger as he's trying to figure out what's going on with his blood issues and his leg. Pray that you give the doctors the wisdom and the ability to fix what's going on, and that he would receive strength back once again. And Lord, thank you for giving us your holy scriptures. Please help us to treasure them. As these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'll also make a, I don't know if Kate heard this or not, but Dave Gardner's back in the hospital. Another stroke.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So we should keep him in prayer too.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie and Jonathan Patterson are having a baby.
Is it big?
Oh, really?
No, I'm asking you.
Oh, no. Not as we speak.
How did you know?
I thought you got a text or something. Like someone wasn't listening. But no, Carrie and Jonathan are having a baby here in the next month, I think. So we're very close to that. So we should keep them in prayer every day if we think about them. And, yep. So I thought we'd mention that as well.